Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. When we had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto you, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience, if you'll bow your head. Heavenly Father, God, we appreciate you tonight. We thank you for the spirit that we have felt already in this service. And Lord, we ask you to anoint your word. We too, Lord, know that we have nothing to offer except that the Holy Ghost would anoint his message that you have given. We ask you, Lord, tonight that you would just touch the hearts of everyone out here. God, I want my heart touched. I know they want their heart touched by the Holy Ghost of God. We pray this prayer in Jesus' precious name. This is going to be our base text. And it's not an unfamiliar one, but it's the one that was laid on my heart. And I can accept, and I'm sure you can, every detail. You can acknowledge the four different areas that the Lord describes. And these areas include some by the wayside, some on stony ground, some seed fell among thorns, and some were on the good soil. But I begin to wonder, and if you've been around me very often, very much, I like to ask a lot of questions. And I become concerned. I said, well, Lord, I know that the seed was the word of God, and I knew that the soil represented some of the conditions of the hearts of people in your lives, in my life. And I thought, well, Lord, how possibly is there any way I can move that seed? Is there any way, Lord, that we can stop the fowls of the air to pick that seed up? I would very much like the seed, which is the word of God, to be planted on the good soil and in the good soil, that it might bring forth fruit. This word here can bring forth fruit in your life. But there's four different areas. And I thought, well, if I couldn't remove the seed and maybe move it over here somewhere, maybe I could do something with the soil. We've all been preached at, and we've been Sunday schooled to death. And we're still desirous, and I'm sure you're desirous, of wanting to produce fruit for Christ. I do.
Amen.
I want so bad to please God. And I want so bad for the things that I do, that it might be anointed, that it might be blessed, and then we can bring forth fruit. Not the kind of fruit that we're going to eat. But I'm talking about a soul saved here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a soul saved over there. Yeah. Praise God. Someone you know receiving the Holy Ghost, and like the testimony a few weeks back, where this young lady said something about one of the people she worked with. You know, they weren't getting along too good, but God began to move. Now, when God begins to move, you take your enemy and you make a friend of him.
That's right.
But if God don't move, that enemy remains an enemy. Now, I know this at first glance may seem somewhat impossible, but let's consider how Christ deals with what for us is the most absolute condition, and that's death. Now remember, my whole idea here is to either somehow move that seed that is taken away by the devil, to get that seed that is destroyed by the cares of this life. And I know we've all had the word destroyed. I mean, that's a good message. I'm talking about a good one now. I'm talking about the best kind, where you sit on the edge of your pew there and you just can't wait for that man or that woman preacher to keep going because it's feeding your soul. Ah, but you get outside and then all of a sudden, poof, it all goes down the drain. Now, we're going to attempt, with God's help, to see what we can do about that tonight. That's what I want to deal with tonight. But I want to build your faith a minute. I want us to see just how God deals with death. Now, David, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, after he took a woman that he should not have taken, and he had Saul's wife, God gave him all of that. And he took David's child. And David said, now look, I'm going to go after the child died. The child was 6-7 days, and David went in the room, and he began to pray and to fast, and his countenance was very contrite before God, prevent sure that God would change his mind and spare the child's life. And God, through Nathan, had already told him, no, you did wrong. You shouldn't have done that. And when the child died, they came to David. And he said, no. He said, they wondered, well, why are you eating now? Why are you washing yourself and anointing yourself? He said, well, I'm going to the child, but you won't come back to me. He recognized that death was an absolute thing. And he knew it was a one-way street, just like we know it's appointed unto man wants to die and then the judgment. We know that. Except in just a couple of cases like Enoch and Elijah. They're the only two that I know that just didn't die. The first encounter here we have is in Luke chapter 8, verse 41. I just make mention because we mention of these, but Jairus came to Christ in Luke chapter 8 there, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Right away, Christ began to go toward Jairus' problem. His daughter lay a dying, the scripture says. And did you know what? We know the story. By the time Christ got there, he was just that much too late, it seemed. Just prior to the time that Christ arrived, this young lady, 12 years old, expired. Sure did. Well, Christ said, don't worry, she's just asleep. And these people who were wailing and weeping, and they began to began to mock Christ and make fun of him, but didn't matter to Christ. He went in under there, and we know that the story is told in the last few verses of that chapter. And he put them all out, and he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Well, that's a good story. Let me tell you another story here real quick. And that story is, Christ was walking down the road, and would you, just as you would suspect, here comes a young man laying on a stretcher. They were going to take him and bury him. He had died a considerable amount of time. He had been dead. And Christ looked at the widow woman in Luke chapter 7. He had compassion on her. And he told that man to get up. Well, we also know the story in John 11 where Christ heard about the death of Lazarus. Lazarus, as I understand, was in the tomb 4 days, 4 nights. Christ began to weep with the others. They all believed that if Christ had been there, that assuredly Lazarus would not have died. Some have suggested that raising Lazarus was akin to a bird set free only to be recaptured and returned to a confining cage. They suggest this as to the reason why Christ wept. I don't know, but I know this. In one case, in Jairus' case, the girl had just died. The widow's son had been dead for some time, but in Lazarus' case, he had been dead over 4 days. So the question then becomes, how do we move the seed to the good soil, or in effect change the soil in our lives so that the seed which is the Word can grow? See, what I'm trying to do now is say, look, God can change the soil. God can take the seed right here and make it alive for you and for me. God can do anything. I mean, if He can take the absolute death, of course, we know death swallowed up in victory, but they didn't know that. And I really don't know that we know that sometimes. I really don't. I think sometimes we don't know that death's been swallowed up in victory. Right. But I promise you that tonight, God can do just this very thing that we would ask Him. And I don't think the answer is as hard as you might expect. I think sometimes we walk with Christ like Dorothy did in the story of the Yellow Brick Road. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but you know, the only time she really got into trouble was when she left the Yellow Brick Road. She did. Every time she just stepped over outside the confines of that Yellow Brick Road, there was a witch. Sure was. And she found herself in trouble. I believe one of the first things we really need to do, and we could begin to do it tonight, and that's real simple, and that's to concentrate on what we're doing. Amen. You know, some of us, like Dorothy, are just sightseers. We're walking with Christ, all right, but we're just doing it in a haphazard, sightseeing manner. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of fun in that. You know, you have a lot of fun because you can step off and you can look at the different things as we're going down the road, but what we really need to do is we might need to be like the woman there in the 8th chapter of Luke again, who had that issue of blood, who decided she was going to touch the garment of Christ. Now, she was going to do that because she had an issue of blood. She had spent all she had, and here was a man who was preaching miracles, but he was not only preaching miracles, but he was performing miracles. Praise God, you know, in this church I have seen since I've been here, not only the preaching of miracles, but I've seen some miracles. And what we need to do is begin to concentrate on what God can do, not what he can't do. Amen. God can do anything that our faith lets him do.
Amen.
The blind man in Luke 18 wanted God's attention. He cried out for the Son of David to have mercy on him. They all told him, "You need just to be a little more quieter, sir. We'd appreciate that if you just don't disturb the master and don't call attention to yourself. But I'm here to tell you tonight that you need to call attention to yourself, that your needs before God are important. Your needs before God tonight are as such that he wants to meet those needs."
That's right.
So I don't know that he does or not. If he did, he would go ahead and he would answer them. But I believe what we need to do is to stand before God and, call out and cry out, "God, please, I'm right here and I really need a touch tonight."
Right.
And so many times when we need that touch, we just remain in our pew. We kind of do what they were trying to do to that blind man. Just be quiet. Be quiet. Don't disturb the master. But God, that's not disturbing God.
No, that's right.
Well, that really was talking about the good soul. But I really want to address the three other souls, of which the same seed, this precious seed, is falling on. You might say, if God would show me a sign, if God would show me a sign tonight, any sign would do. A handwriting on the wall, that would really disturb me. I mean, if any of you happen to see a handwriting on the wall, if you'll let me know, I'll stop my preaching and I'll take my pew. But some are looking for a sign. And tonight we really desire to move the seed to good soil, or if it's possible, God wants it to be sold, to do something with the soil that the seed fell on. And some of these people who the soil represents want a sign. Let's look at the Word just for a moment. Let's look at God's Word and see just what happens to people who have seen a sign. In 1 Kings 13, Jeroboam he just couldn't follow the Lord. He was one of those kings. And God sent a man of God to him to talk to him about what he was doing. Some of the altars in Bethel and to other gods. These kings knew better than that, or I feel like they did. And that Jeroboam went to put out his hand against the man of God. And when he did that, when he reached out his hand towards the man of God, it drew up, it withered. Sure did. And then he began to entreat the man of God, say, "Would you please, please ask God to restore my hand again, if you don't mind, you know." He saw that he had been blessed by God. And did you know what he did after all this happened? And that was a sign. I'm talking about a sign on your own person. I'm talking about a sign that you experienced from God. I'm talking about a sign that if you prayed that prayer, say, "God, send a man of God to me, and I'll do anything you want me to do now. Come on, Lord, just send me a sign." If you're like Jeroboam, you're still not going to do anything.
That's right.
Did you know what? In the 14th chapter, the 7th verse, Jeroboam said his wife to a man of God, he says, "You go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, forasmuch as I have exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, or that is, he didn't keep the commandments of God, and who followed me with all of his heart, that is, his heart wasn't in what he was doing for God, to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods, and molten images, provoked me to anger, and hast cast me behind the back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off Jeroboam, and it goes on and on. I just don't want to here to read all that. But now I want to tell you something here. This man had his physical body touched by God in such a way as I wouldn't want God to touch me that way. God let him know that he did not approve of his sin. He did not approve of those images that he was making. He did not approve of worshiping other gods. And Jeroboam still did not repent. You say, I can't understand it. It looks like to me, if I would see a sign, I know my heart would be changed. I know that I would bust up that stony ground. I'd get the biggest sledgehammer you've ever seen, and I would bust up all that stony ground. You say, well, I tell you what. You know, in Egypt, in the National Geographic here lately, they had a fantastic picture. It puts a sharp contrast between the land just by the Nile River, and then there's like a road there, and then it's just desert. Soil, just like here in West Texas, you know, you fertilize the soil, and you pour water to it, and it can go just about anything, it looks like. But other than that, you go to Lubbock, and it looks like the most barren land you've ever seen. And I know some of our, maybe your family that comes from out of state or out of pocket, they think there's nothing to grow in West Texas. You're almost right. Unless you do something with the soil. Unless you do something with that soil, and when something happens to that soil, and you add the right fertilizer, you add the right, the proper amount of moisture, see, something can happen to the seed. And what we're doing here is we're ushering out the seed. We're preaching to you. We're teaching to you. Man, we're singing songs. We're doing it all. But we want people to mature in Christ.
Amen.
Oh, why though? Not so we can say that we're mature, but that we can produce fruit. Fruit for Christ. Hey, man, I'm a fruit of somebody. Amen. Amen. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody I know fasted for me. I know, you know, somebody get on their knees and said, look, there's a fellow over there, God. I don't know who he is, but he needs salvation. He needs to be stirred in his heart. I've been trying to talk to my kids, and I said, serving God comes from the inside. And it does, folks. It comes from the inside.
Right.
You're not going to find this thing. It won't be preached on you, Brother Don. No, it won't. I can't preach this thing on you. The Sunday school teacher can't teach it on you. You only come to church because you want to come to church.
That's right.
Amen. Mama can't bring you here. No, sir. Your husband can't make you come. I guarantee you, if I didn't want to be here, my wife couldn't do anything in this world to make me come to church.
Right.
No, she couldn't. So she'd say, well, she may say, I'll leave. She can leave. You know, that's the way sinners are. You can't make them serve God. You know, I try my best to teach my kids responsibility. We always go back to this camp they had for 4-H, and I was telling my oldest daughter, I said, everybody knows it's good to have a calf, a nice looking calf. And when you come to see our calf, you think, well, that's a great calf. You've got to water that thing. And you've got to feed that thing. And you've got to spend time with that calf. But it's a hassle. It's a big hassle. It's not what it looks like it is. Lots of things aren't what they look like. And serving God's the same way. You know, this seed that we're talking about, well, in Jeroboam's case, don't look for a sign, folks, if that's the way we want to approach God, because if you do it that way, chances are it's not going to help you anyway. It didn't Jeroboam. God saw to that. We also know of one of my favorite stories is the three Hebrew children, and it's the king. Look, if you saw the fourth one, after he threw the Hebrew children in there, like the Son of God, he made it a creed. But he didn't, he still didn't get rid of the other guys. He didn't serve God either. He saw a sign. He saw a sign. And one other example we might point out would be the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Look, he saw all manner of signs. If you're looking for a sign to move that seed over to the good soil, I don't really think it's going to work. I don't think it will, not for long anyway. They didn't repent, and you'll probably not all so if you, if this is your way of crying out God like trying on a new suit or a new dress. But now how can we move that seed, or how can we rejuvenate the soul? I want you to remember a story, and it's in 1 Samuel 16 and 23, and I think I'll read it real quickly. And that's when Saul was, God had taken the kingdom from Saul. And you know, after Saul made an offering to God, or took the prophet's place, God decided that he didn't want Saul to be king anymore, and he sent an evil spirit to him on Saul to trouble him. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now God sent an evil spirit because he was upset with Saul. But David was God's anointed. And there's a key in that now. Now listen, there's a key to this. See, David was God's anointed, and he was able to do something for Saul. Yes, he was. So if you're looking to move that seed to good soil, we're starting here now. We're at a place where we're beginning to think about how possible this is. I want to go to Acts. In the 10th chapter there, talk about Cornelius for just a second. And in Cornelius' case, he was a devout man, verse 2, one that feared God with all his house. And he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And we know he's a Gentile, but he saw a vision. Now tonight, it's my prayer to, like Cornelius, I want God to move in such a way that I can draw closer to God. You know one thing about drawing closer to God? He's there to help us draw closer to God.
That's right.
You know, it's not like, oh, I got to get out of that pew, and it's so hard. It's so difficult. Or these friends of mine or these people I work with, that's so hard to witness. And it is. I won't say it's not on one hand, but then on the other, in Cornelius' case, God began to move in his life, and we know that when God moves in your life, God moves in your life. That's about all I can say about that. And nothing can stop God moving in your life when God begins to move. He was a Gentile, and he wanted to know more about God. So God sent him a vision. Evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God, he saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said,
What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. What I like about this is Cornelius sent for Peter. But it wasn't till the next day that Peter received his vision. Now God told Cornelius to send men. Has God ever told you to do something today? Well, he's working today. No, God didn't work that day. He waited till the next day to give Peter a vision. He waited just before the men got there, and then he gave Peter a vision about taking and eating things that were unclean to a Jew. Peter says, Lord, I'm not going to eat those unclean things. You know I've never done that. And he showed him the vision 3 times. And then he took it up. But it was the next day that after that he had told Cornelius what he would do and what to do. For some of us, this is the only way we're going to get that seed on the good ground, is for God to put it there. If you want the seed, which is the word, to sprout in your heart, and you've got stony ground, and you don't have a sledgehammer, and you don't have a wheelbarrow to bring in some good soil, you're in trouble. If your heart condition or my heart condition is like that by the wayside, which is, you know, they just put the garbage over by the wayside. I think Texas is pretty clean, but you go back east and those roads are littered by the wayside. I mean, they look so bad, it looks like they clean them up. But that's where some of the seed, according to Christ, that's where some of the seed had been fallen. It was by the wayside. It wasn't going to grow up to be anything anyway. And if it did grow, it probably would never be harvested. It probably would never get to the place it would have fruit for God. Oh, hallelujah. And if you have the kind of soul that's being choked by the cares of this life, and we all know it's so easy today with the you know, they talk about the movies. Like I say, the movies are down there now in the Town and Country right over here in the corner. They had them in furs. They got all kinds of movies. I'm talking about the cares and the riches of this life. We have it. We all have it so wonderful. These air conditioned churches nowadays, and added pews, and that don't even get people here. They are being choked by the cares of this life.
Right.
They would rather be fishing if there was a place to fish around Andrews. And there's not even a place to fish, so you tell me where they're at. I don't know. But the good soil is the kind of soil that wants to be here. It's not that you have to be prodded to be here. It's not that someone is begging you to be here. It's not that you feel a need, even though there is a need for your presence here. There is a need. I mean, God's church couldn't operate without people because you are the church. I mean, you just don't operate. But that's not why we come. That's not why we come. We don't come because Brother Don has to play the bass guitar. If that's his only reason for coming, oh, you keep coming. But that's not why you come.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. What we've got to do is somehow, we must move that seed onto the good soil or do something with the soil on which the seed has fallen. We want to be mature Christians. There's one other thing you might do, and then we're going to come to a close. And I'm reminded of a story that my first pastor, the woman pastor, it's something she told me to try. And it's really worked. It's worked for me at different times, I might say. And it's I didn't have a lot of answers at that time, and I was always facing something seemingly I didn't know anything about, and I still do. And when certain situations or temptations would come my way,
Well, I didn't know what to do. Now, you may have an answer for all your temptations, and you may have an answer for every thought that enters your brain. You may just, I got an answer for that one, Lord. But I don't, and I still don't. If I would get into a place where I was really frightened, you know, I'd go here and there, you know, you're trying to follow the Lord, and sometimes you, boy, the devil's really coming at me awful strong, and what can I do? And he says, plead the blood. And we've all heard that, haven't we? And I did. Because I didn't know what else to do. I mean, you come against a blank wall, like that's what I have up here sometimes, I don't know what to do. If you ever become frightened, you feel like the devil is getting a sense of you, the judge, not the stone. And I did. I really did. So we have seen that a sign don't necessarily make you spiritual. I wish it did, because I'm sure God would show us the sign. We'd all be content. And we're all spiritual. But it didn't work in Jeroboam's case. Sure it didn't. It didn't work in Pharaoh's case. It didn't work in his case. So, I don't know that it would be wise for you to look for a sign. It didn't work in Belshazzar, but that's the case either. It just don't. It should. But I think what we need to do is to concentrate like the blind man and like the woman with an issue of blood. Now, folks, you can begin to concentrate, and even if you concentrate on pleading the blood. You know, I wish tonight, we're going to have a chance to do this too. And that's, please, you know, you may need to stop, or you may need to start, like some of the black servants I've been in. When they testify, I'm going to tell you something, this one. Because they start on top of their head. You know, I thank God for this, and I thank God for my hand. I don't remember anymore the testimony song like they have, but they would thank God for their eyes. And they would thank God for their money. And they would go all the way to thank God for my feet, and I thank God for my legs, you know, and they would just go on and on. And they were really thankful too. I mean, they really were thankful. I don't know if there's no other way for your soul to be nourished, to have fertilizer put on. If there's no other way, then I'm saying plead the blood. You may need to start from the very top. I've done this for me. I've plead the blood on my mind.